Again, it's good to see Pastor Jim, isn't it? And I know that, Pastor Jim, from my heart to yours, I know that our church has been praying every single day, all day, for you and your family. And again, if there's anything we can do to help, please let us know. And we are here to help and support you and Kim and John. And I hope you pass that on to him as well when you see him later today. So I have to admit it is kind of strange to be speaking to you guys with Pastor Jim sitting right there, you know? It's like, I don't know if he's going to be critiquing me like Dr. Kober back in the day, or, you know, I don't know, but it is a privilege to be able to speak to you today. I wish the circumstances were different, but it is a privilege to open God's Word and to share with you today from God's Word what I believe God has laid on my heart to share with you in this message. And as many of you know, last week, I also spoke to you because Pastor Jim was down at the hospital in Evansville. And the passage that God took my mind to pretty quickly in the morning after I looked through some different things that were possibilities was Psalm 46. Do you guys remember that? Okay, good. It's good that you remember that. And so we were in Psalm 46, and we spent a great deal of time talking about how God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. And we talked through all that, and we discovered some good truths in that passage. And as I was thinking about that this week, and as I found out that I was going to be speaking for Pastor Jim again, it just kind of dawned on me, I think we need to make a progression in Psalm 46 and continue the thought process. What do we do in a time of trouble? And as I started thinking about that and praying about that, it became very clear and evident to me that, yes, we do need to continue on because, and you'll hear this probably a few times within the message, sometimes we don't have a problem with saying, yes, I will go to God. He is a God of help in time of trouble. But sometimes I think that God's help is what we look at the most. And many times we forget to think about God himself in the struggle. Or in our time of trouble. Does that make sense? It's kind of like God is our provider, and we're thankful for that, and we can see God providing for us, and that takes our focus, and it's kind of like the parent in the background going, well, what about me? I'm right here. And so, as I prepared this week, and as I tried to think about how to make a transition from Psalm 46, Psalm 121 came to mind. And I want to read that for you today. If you'd like to look it up in your Bibles, Psalm 121. And it goes like this. I will lift up my eyes into the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper, and the Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. And in Psalm 21, this is generally known as, there's a section of Psalms that are known as Psalms of Ascent. Okay? And what that means is as people were, the Jewish people, the Israelis, Israelites were going to the temple, you have to go upward to get to the temple because it's on a mountain. And so it's a psalm of ascent, something they would be thinking about and saying and talking about amongst themselves. And it's very visual here in the first part of Psalm 121 where it says in verse 1, I will lift up my eyes into the hills, what was in front of them. They knew where they were going. Where does my help come from? And they knew where their help was coming from because that's where they were going. They were going to the place where they could find the help that they need. And it says there in verse 1, my help comes from the what? From the Lord who made the heaven and earth. By the way, how powerful is God? He made the heavens and the earth. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And I think it's worth noting here that, you know, let me back up a minute. I'm not trying to minimize what God does to help us, right? God provides a great deal of help for us in difficult times and in trouble. But look at what's here. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. It doesn't say my help comes from the Lord's solutions to my problems. It comes from the Lord. And I want to suggest to you today that we need to focus on the helper more than the help that God provides. We need to focus on God in our time of trouble and be thankful for the help he provides. But our focus needs to be on God himself. And I think many times when trouble does come into our lives, God allows things to happen in our lives. Yes, to show his power and how he can provide and how he can protect and what he can do. But I think many times it's like it's something to get our attention about him and our relationship with him. Again, it's like the parent in the back saying, I'm here. You know, maybe you've walked away from God. And I told you this story about something that God used to get my attention last week. That was definitely one of those, I'm right here, Matt. You know, I know that you're part of the family, but you're not walking with me and I'm right here. And so today we want to narrow our focus as we consider what to do in times of trouble. And specifically, we need to focus on God more than what the help God provides. So don't worry. Psalm 121 isn't our main passage. We're going to Psalm 84. So if you go to Psalm 84, the words will also be on the screen when we get to it. We are in Psalm 84 today. And again, this is like, Psalm 84 is like the passages of ascent. And I like the way that John MacArthur puts this. In Psalm 84, it expresses the joy of a pilgrim traveling to Jerusalem. Get that, the joy of a pilgrim traveling to Jerusalem, then up to Jerusalem, to the temple, for one of the feasts. The pilgrims focused their attention especially on the thought of being in the very presence of the Lord God. Think about that. The pilgrims who were on their way to Jerusalem to go to the temple, to be in the presence of God in his temple, they focused their attention especially on the thought of being in the very presence of the Lord God. And I want to suggest to you today, that's exactly the type of thinking that we have to have in a time of trouble. Focusing our attention on the thought of being in the very presence of the Lord God. Being as close to God as we can possibly be, because that is the safest place that we can be. Whether you're going through trouble or not, right? That's the truth. So Psalm 84... I'd like to read that for you, and then we're going to break it down a little bit and make some application, and let's just see how God uses this today to shape us and to mold us, to chisel some things away in our life, and help us become conformed to the image of his son, Jesus. Psalm 84 says, "How lovely are your dwelling places, O Lord of hosts! My soul longed and even yearned for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. The bird also has found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. How blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. How blessed is the man whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. Passing through the valleys of Baca, they make a great spring. They make it a great spring. The early rain also covers it with blessings. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God, and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 outside. I would rather stand in the threshold of the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, how blessed is the man who trusts in you." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day you've provided for us. We want to thank you, Lord, for your word that's been preserved through the centuries so that we can know you today. We can know how you want us to live, the things you want us to do, the things you don't want us to do, how we can please you and obey you with our lives. So, Lord, we ask you for your help today. As we study your word, as we consider these things, that you would give us understanding, Lord, through the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, that you would give us courage to make changes that need to be made. And Lord, that we wouldn't push aside your Spirit's leading today. Lord, just open our eyes, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So chapter 84 in Psalm is broken up into three different sections. The first section is verses 1 through 4, and it's the anticipation to worship God. The second section is in verses 5 through 7, the journey to worship God. And then the third and last one is the joy that comes from worshiping God. So let's go into these sections one by one. The first section is the anticipation to worship God in verses 1 through 4. 1 through 4 says, "How lovely are your dwelling places, O Lord of hosts. My soul longed and even yearned for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. The bird also has found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. How blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you." So we see in verse 1, this verse that talks about a dwelling place. How lovely are your dwelling places, O Lord of hosts. And it begs the question, and I hope that you guys have lots of questions when you study the Bible. Are you guys question askers? That's how you learn stuff, right? It begs the question, why is this dwelling place lovely? What's so lovely about the dwelling place? Well, the dwelling place to the Jewish people represented, or it was equal to, the presence of God. Extremely valuable to them, obviously. To go to the temple means that when they were to go there, they were in the presence of God. Even to this day, you can go to Jerusalem today. It'll be a long trip for you. But you're going to see people at the base of the temple wall still praying. And they go there because that is the physical representation of the presence of God. And they recognize that to be true. So why is the dwelling place lovely? Because it is the dwelling place, the temple, the presence of God was there. And that's what people, that's what they wanted. That's why they're on this journey of ascent. In verse 2, we see that there's this strong desire and joy to worship God in the temple. This wasn't just a passive type activity where they were putting in their religious time. There was an actual joy and a desire to worship God in the temple. You see, it wasn't about the temple. It was about God and being with God, being present with God. And that brought them an amazing amount of joy. In verse 4 is basically an expression of the happiness of the people who are in the presence of God. How blessed are those who dwell in your house. How happy are those who dwell in your house. Again, it's not about the structure. It's about the person. The person brings happiness. How blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. An expression of the happiness of the people who are in the presence of God. So we see in verses 1 through 4 the anticipation to worship God. And it's intense. Again, it's not passive. It's not putting in your time. It is, we need to be with God. And we're going to do whatever it takes to get there. Which takes us to the second part of this chapter. The journey to worship God. And let me tell you right off the bat, this journey is not easy for these people. They are physically walking or riding animals, but mostly walking to Jerusalem. How many of you have been to the Holy Land? All right, I think we have one. Is there someone else? We need to take a trip, you guys. Come on. But if you go to the Holy Land, you will see for yourself that it is very difficult terrain around Jerusalem and even throughout Israel for that matter. And these people were walking, and it was important enough for them to walk through that terrain, through the struggle, through the heat. You don't want to forget your water or get caught without water to be in the temple in the presence of God. And so the second part in verses 5 through 7, we see the journey to worship God. And verse 5 says, "How blessed is the man whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion." See, happiness for those who find their strength in God, what that means is in whose people are happy when they find their complete strength in God. Not in our own effort, but our complete strength in God. There's an interesting phrase here that says, "In whose heart are the highways to Zion." And I like how Ernest Hawkins put it this way. That is, those who love the ways that lead to the house of God. How blessed and happy that person is. And inside of their heart, they love the journey to get closer to God. And they'll do whatever it takes. That's the type of attitude we have to have in our Christian walk and in our faith. Even when we're in trouble, when we're out of trouble, when things are going well, when things are going bad, to have this heart where we want to follow God completely. And we're happy to do that. And we love the way, however it takes to get there. That's not an easy thing to do. Because in our trouble and in our difficult circumstances, it can be extremely painful, right? It can be painful physically. It can be painful spiritually. It can be painful emotionally, mentally. And we experience pain. But what's our perspective? Do we want to be close to God no matter what the circumstances are, even through the painful and difficult circumstances? The desire to be there in Jerusalem comes from the heart. The desire to be close to God came from the heart. And that's one of the first challenges I want to throw out to you today. Where is your heart, your heart's desire, when it comes to this relationship with God? Do you have a strong desire to be close to God? I know that you know the answer, the church answer. It's, yeah, of course I do. But you have to ask yourself, do you really have that desire? How strong is your desire to be close to God? Are you willing to walk through difficult circumstances? Are you going to be faithful to God through the difficult circumstances? You see, these people who are going through this journey in Psalm 84 here, their heart was in the journey, but their heart was also in the relationship, and it was together, the journey and the relationship together to be close with God. Just to give you an idea of what this was like, verse 6 talks about the valley of Baca, and that was on the way to Jerusalem, and it is an arid place, okay? Desolate, rocky terrain, limited water sources. And so, again, this is not an easy journey that they're on and that they're speaking to. They're speaking to us today, being on this journey in this difficult circumstances, things surrounding them. Yet those on their way to worship in the temple were joyful despite all their conditions that they traveled in because their hearts were set on being in the presence of God. It wasn't on their circumstances. It wasn't on their trouble. And yes, they had trouble. They had even trouble in the journey. But their focus was on God in the circumstance. Worshiping, being with God and worshiping him with all of their heart. Verse 7 says, strength to strength. The people would get tired in their journey to Jerusalem, but they joyfully persevered because they kept their eyes on the destination. Again, and I know that I'm getting repetitive because I'm doing that on purpose, it is to be in the presence of God, to be with God in the struggle, to be with God and not just experiencing his blessings that he gives, to be with God. Verse 8 indicates a prayer for help on the journey, and it says this, "O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob." So verse 8 indicates a prayer for help on the journey. It's a direct and personal prayer to be heard in the time of need. And I believe that they prayed for many things, but it's written down for us and recorded for us what I believe is to be the focus of that prayer, and it is this. They wanted to be heard. They wanted God to hear them. It's not recorded every single prayer request that they had or need they requested or even some that were demanded. They simply wanted to be heard by God in their struggle to meet with God. That's different than American Christendom today, isn't it? It's okay to shake your heads, you guys. It's okay to say, yeah, it is different. Because a lot of times we as Americans, we as even Baptists, we can be in good churches like this, and we pray for things, and we have a list of things that we want God to do for us or whatever, but we're not always content that God would even just hear us. We want something from God. And I want to suggest to you that what is better? To have a long list of things that we can ask God for, or to be content with God hearing us, turning his ear to us. Thank you, God, for hearing me. God, that just blows my mind. How amazing are you? And you can turn to him in worship. I believe that these people who prayed for God to hear them, they were confident that God was listening and that God could provide all that they needed. They just wanted to know that they were heard. And in that relationship that they had with him, that was the most important thing. I just want to be heard. God, do you hear me? Please hear my prayer. So we see that there's great anticipation to worshiping God in verses 1 through 4. And we see the journey to worship God in verses 5 through 7. And then in verses 8 through 12, we can see clearly the joy that comes from worshiping God. Being in God's presence and worshiping God. Let's go to the text. Verse 8 says, O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God, and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 outside. I would rather stand at the threshold of the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, how blessed is the man who trusts in you. Verse 10, I don't know about you, but when you read that short part of the passage, verse 10 leaps from the pages, and it's like one of those spiritual 2x4s. You guys ever had one of those? Where maybe you're reading something, or maybe you're hearing a message somewhere, and all of a sudden the word of God just goes, whap, and you're like, you have my attention, God. Right? A spiritual 2x4. It can be an iron bar. It can be a slingshot projectile. It can be a flamethrower, okay, if that's what you like. But one of those things that really, really gets your attention in verse 10, simply being in the presence of God is better than any other place or anything else that the world offers. Did you guys see that? For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 outside. And I want to suggest to you, in our time of trouble, in our time of need, and even in our good times, do we have this attitude that being with God is better than any other place or anything else that this world offers? And specifically, as we narrow our focus today in our times of trouble, I want to suggest to you that even in your time of trouble, and maybe you don't have all of the answers yet to how God is going to provide for you, it is enough to be in God's presence. And that should be better than any other place that this world offers. In verse 11 is a reference to God's provision and his protection. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. That's a confidence building verse, isn't it? A confidence builder in God, in God's provision and his protection. In verse 12, it's a declaration that those who trust in the Lord experience happiness, satisfaction, and contentment. Verse 12 says, O Lord of hosts, how blessed is the man who trusts in you. You see, when we trust in God, and we are really trusting in God, not just saying it and kind of going through some motions, but when our heart is really trusting in God, we truly experience happiness, satisfaction, and contentment. And there's not a qualifier on that in this passage to your circumstances or my circumstances. we can experience happiness, satisfaction, and contentment from the Lord, being in this relationship with the Lord in our time of trouble. And that's where our focus needs to be as we narrow our focus in times of trouble. So what does all of this mean for us today? It means lots of different things. And we could be here a long time talking about all of the implications, but there's a few things that have really stuck out to me this week as I've prepared for this that I think you need to hear today. And first off is that God has a tremendous heart for us. God has a tremendous heart for you. This is not something new theologically. This is straight through the Old Testament all the way through to the New Testament. God's heart just screams love, concern, care, all of those things, grace, mercy for both you and me. His desire is to have a personal, intimate relationship with us in the good times and in the troubling times, no matter what's going on in life. And I think it's worth pointing out that it's always been important to God to be present and available to us. All right? Now, we could expound on this a long time, okay? We could go through different parts of Scripture. I want to keep it really simple this morning, okay? I want you to think about this. It's always been important for God to be present and available to people. Let's talk about the temple, okay? Before Jesus, this was the representation of the presence of God for people. God provided that as a way for people to connect with him. It was important for him to be connected to people via the temple. And the Jewish people understood that. Let's go down to Jesus. What does Jesus' name mean? We even sing Christmas songs of this word Emmanuel. What is that? What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. Does that not scream a desire for God to have intimate relationship with us? See, it moved from the temple to Jesus, God with us. God sent his son Jesus to be among us. In fact, John 1 verses 1 and 14 say this, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." In verse 14, "And the Word became flesh, and he dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Can you see how God has orchestrated throughout history a presence, an opportunity for presence with us? Because he loves us. Because he loves us. Let's talk about the Holy Spirit. If you're a true believer in Jesus and you know for sure that you've placed your faith and trust in Jesus to save you, the Bible tells us that you're indwelt by God's Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit indwells believers at the time of salvation. God, the Holy Spirit, with us, indwelling us. So we've gone from temple, Jesus, Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, it says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." It's always been important for God to be present and available to us in our lives. I think the original listeners to Psalm 84 understood the presence of God via the temple. I don't think there was any mistake about that. They really understood all of that. And as believers today, we have direct access to God through the Father, God the Father, through Jesus, and the Spirit that lives within us. And that's an amazing truth, isn't it? God loves us. God's provided ways throughout history to be connected with people. And we have the opportunity today to be connected with him. And so as we talk about narrowing our focus in times of trouble, I have to ask you at this point, what is your relationship with God? Are you more focused on the circumstances or God's gifts to you rather than on God himself? Because he wants more than anything a close, intimate relationship with you. As a church body, do we seek to be with God and worship God like the people mentioned in Psalm 84? Is there an anticipation to be together, whether it's a group this big or even smaller groups that meet or committee groups that meet, youth groups that meet? Is there an anticipation that we're going to meet together as people who follow and love God to encourage each other and to be ministered to by God and his word? As a church, do we enjoy the journey or the process of growing in our relationship with God and becoming more like Christ? How can we be better at that? How can we do that? And do we really experience joy when we worship God? If we truly worship God in spirit and in truth, and there's a full-on trust within our hearts, we can experience happiness, satisfaction, and contentment. You know what? I think when we worship that way, and when we are focused on God in our worship and in our body and in meeting the needs and all of the different things that church is supposed to be, lots of complaining gets left at the door. And maybe other things get left at the door that are just a discouragement because we're so focused on the relationship with God. So as we narrow our focus again in our times of trouble, how is your relationship with God today? I have a series of questions here that as I get to the last part of the message today that I want to use as reflective questions. And I have to tell you up front, these questions are not made up. They didn't come to mind, and I didn't try to formulate them in a way for any specific instance or circumstance that's going on within our church or any personal instance that's going on within your life personally. Or they're not questions necessarily that come from my own personal life. These are just questions that have come to mind that I believe we could think about today as we think about how to narrow our focus in times of trouble. Does everybody understand that? Okay? Do you have a strong desire to spend time with God and worship him? Are you genuinely happy to be with God? And maybe you're thinking about this completely new and different today. Maybe you're like, Pastor Matt, I haven't really thought about the idea of really focusing down about being happy just to be with God, to be walking closely with him, as close as you possibly can. But are you happy to do that? Are you happy to be with God? Do you love the way that God has provided for you to be close to him? Do you really love the way that God has provided for you to be close to him? Do you follow that path joyfully? You see, the path that I'm on is different than yours, right? Yes, it's through Jesus, okay? We're not talking about paths and getting all mystical on you guys, okay? It's through Jesus, God's word, all of those things. But you know what? I've experienced things in a different way than you have in my Christian walk. And we all do, right? We're from different backgrounds. But are you content with how God has led you in your Christian life? Are you looking for another way? Can you be happy with what God has provided for you and experience that happiness and the satisfaction and contentment that comes from trusting God that the path that you're on is the best path for you, even in your trouble? Do you walk through the struggles of life with joy because you know that God is with you in your struggle? Are you depending on God for your strength, and are you keeping your eyes on him? You see, even in churches like ours, there are people depending on lots of other things besides God. That's why the question has to be asked. Yeah, there's some basic things that we can all think of. Yeah, people are depending on alcohol and drugs and sex addiction, all these different things that people could be depending on. But we need to ask the question, are you depending on God for your strength, and are you keeping your eyes on him? He's the one that can help in times of trouble. Do you ask God to help you through the ups and downs of life? Is being in the presence of God better than any other thing or any other place that this world offers? This one is especially challenging to me, because I like being in a close, intimate relationship with God, but I'm a guy who can get easily distracted, and I love my family too. Okay, I'm just going to be very honest and transparent with you guys, and sometimes I think that can be a problem for me, where I cherish that time with my family even more than I cherish time of being closely, intimately connected with God himself. And maybe some of you can relate to that. That's a tough one for me to answer. Is being in the presence of God better than any other thing or any other place that this world offers? Do you thank God regularly for his provision and his protection? You know, a lot of times in our relationship with God, we can take him for granted, right? I can't tell you how many times I feel like my life has been preserved because of, in spite of stupid things that I've done, okay? You heard of a stupid thing I did last week, right? When I told you I was on fire, that was a really dumb thing. And God preserved my life and protected me from further damage. But do you thank God regularly for his provision and protection? Are you willing to follow God completely and experience true joy, satisfaction, and contentment? And it really does boil down to trust. As we narrow our focus in times of trouble, our focus has to be on God and our relationship with him. All these other things, a lot of things do matter, okay? I'm not going to say they don't matter. They do matter. But in all of it, our relationship with God has to be number one. And when we trust God completely in our struggle, we can experience that joy, satisfaction, and contentment. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." I want to encourage you today. I don't know where you're at. I don't know if there's a lot of trouble going on in your lives or in our church life or whatever. I'm still playing the new guy card, okay? And I'm learning lots of stuff. I don't know where you're at in your relationship with God. I don't know where you're at in this idea of being in trouble in one way or another. But I want to challenge you today with the idea that God loves you. And there's nothing more that God wants than to be in a close, intimate relationship with you. If you haven't trusted Jesus to be your Savior, why not today? Why not come to him today and place your complete faith and trust in him alone to save you from your sins? If you have trusted Jesus and you know you're part of God's family, but there's so many things in your life weighing you down today, and there's all these troubles, and yes, you've gone the route of asking God for help, and there's been just a focus on all of the things that you want God to do for you, but you've forgotten about God himself, I want to challenge you today. From Hebrews 4:16, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace in time of need." Are you willing to drop all of these other things and say, right now, God, my relationship with you is the most important thing. This is it. And God, as I move forward, and even as you meet the needs in my trouble and you help me get through these different things, I'm still committed to this relationship and growing with you and as being as close to you as I possibly can through the good times and the bad times. Are you willing to do that today? People, there is no safer place to be than in the presence of God. There is no safer place to be, through good or bad. About a year or so ago, there were some things starting to happen in our ministry life and in our family life where it really got our attention. And these weren't positive things. Some negative things were going on. And it was a real faith challenge for me as a pastor and as a father. And like God so often does, and you guys know this, I'm sure, God provides what we need at the right times. And yes, I study God's word a lot, constantly, preparing lessons, reading on my own, listening to messages, going to conferences and doing different things. But God simply used one song to speak to the need that I had and help me to refocus to this idea of being as close to God as you possibly can be. And I think that I've queued this song up okay for you guys. You should be able to hear it really well today. But this song is I believe, written and sung by Trent Smith. He is a graduate of Faith Baptist Bible College. He's out on the West Coast in a church. And I thought I would share it with you today, and maybe God would use it to bless your heart like he's used it to bless my heart in the past. If you'd like to see the words, they're on your insert on the back of your outline this morning.
Where you are, there's comfort and forgiveness, clarity and purpose where you are. And where you are, there's love for one another and families knit together.
There's victory and power, and praise will rise forever where you are. We need victory in our trouble, and we need the power that can only come from God. And folks, it's going to come by being as close to God as you possibly can be. You see, in our trouble, once again, we need to focus on God more than the help that God provides. Do you understand what I'm talking about today? This relationship with God. How do we do that? We lean into the relationship. You know, I know it sounds kind of odd, but sometimes we as believers, and sometimes even as church leaders, a big struggle comes along and we want to fix it ourselves, right? I'm going to go fix this myself because I have the skills and I have the experience to do this. And no, that's not the idea. When trouble comes, we need to focus on God and we need to lean into the relationship with Him to be closer to Him. We need to remove any barriers that may be in that relationship. Because many times we place these barriers between us and God, and sometimes we don't even notice what we're doing. Many times we do know, but we don't care. But we need to remove any barriers. We need to confess any and all sin that's in our lives and not have that be a barrier between us and God in this relationship, or this relationship of being close to Him, as close as we possibly can. And as we lean into God, we need to show Him our love for Him by simply obeying Him. There's no greater way that we can show God that we love Him than by simply doing what He's asked us to do. And those of you who are parents today, sitting in here today with some of your kids, you know this to be true from your own relationship with your kids. There's no greater way that your kids can show that they respect and love you than when they do what you ask them to do when you ask them to do it. And it's the same in our relationship with God. And so today, if you're feeling God's Holy Spirit just kind of pressing on you and saying, yeah, this is something that you need. You need to focus on me. You need to focus on God more than all these other things. Even more than the good things that I provide to help you in your trouble. But focus, narrow your focus today. And I want you to think about me. And I want you to think about us and our relationship. Lean into the relationship. Remove any barriers that exist, and just follow me and obey me. I want to challenge you with that today as you consider how to narrow your focus in a time of trouble. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for the opportunity we have to study your word. God, for the opportunities that we have to be taught by your Holy Spirit, to be enlightened, to have our minds illuminated by your Holy Spirit. We thank you for that, God. God, I want to thank you for your faithfulness to us. I want to ask, Lord, that you would use your word today in a powerful way in our lives. Help us, God, to think of you in our times of trouble and not just the things that you provide for us or the things that are on our wish list in our time of trouble. And God, as each of us draw closer to you and we lean into this relationship with you, we can't help but deal with the sin that's in our lives. We can't help but deal with the plank that's in our eye that as we try to remove the speck from someone else's eye. We can't help, Lord, but to be completely honest with you and to trust you completely. And God, this is what we pray for today. And Lord, as you change us as individuals within this church body, we're confident, Lord, that you're going to change our church body. And we're going to grow and continue to grow spiritually and really be the salt and light you intend for us to be in this community and beyond. God, please help keep our focus narrowed on what's most important in trouble. In Jesus' name, amen.